This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Oh, yeah, it's been a day. We got news in the NBA. We've got news in the NFL. We're covering it all. I'm Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Shea Cornett and Bart Scott here with you. If you want to give us a call, the phone number on the Dr. Pepper call line is 888-SAY-ESPN. It's 888-729-3776. And as always, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, we turn the page to Week 10 in the NFL starting tomorrow night. And before we dive into all the big matchups, because obviously this is going to be our first look at the matchups that are coming up this Thursday, Sunday, and Monday, let's start with the biggest news of the day, and that is the status of Josh Allen. So the Bills have to welcome the Vikings to town. Vikings sit at 7-1, the Bills at 6-2 on the season. And Sean McDermott had an update on Josh Allen. Let's hear from the head coach of the Buffalo Bills on their star quarterback.
What I've got on Josh is he's day-to-day, and the next question will be, is he going to play? And the answer is, we'll see. So based on the medical report that we have, Josh is day-to-day.
All right, so he's day-to-day. If he cannot go instead, their backup will fill in. That will be Case Keenum. And so Josh Allen day-to-day, and so it's an elbow situation for him, his arm, something he dealt with in 2018. And Bart, he has played every single game since that injury happened. So going up against the Minnesota Vikings, let's just say Josh Allen's not going to play. What are your expectations for this Bills team as they welcome the Minnesota Vikings to town?
I mean, it's tough sledding it. I think if you're going to be playing with your backup quarterback, you will want your defense intact. And you look at the fact that, you know, I think Russo hurt his ankle against the Jets. You look at, you know, Poirier being out. You want all hands on deck because we know this is a top five defense when all healthy. So it just puts more pressure on that defense and maybe potentially the running game because they're going to have to not – they can't ask Case Keenum to be Josh Allen. Which Josh Allen is the main focal point of their run game. You saw the check that he made against the Jets last week when he caught him, you know, all mugged up at the line of scrimmage, and I think it went for a 61-yard touchdown run. You're not going to get that type of productivity from Case Keenum, so now you have to ask Hines and you have to ask Singletary to step it up in that respect and try and slow the game down. But Minnesota's not going to feel sorry for you, and they're going to take advantage of the fact that you potentially will have two backup safeties in, and you're going to force them to have to do a lot of communicating, a lot of thinking, both in the run game as far as fits and also in the pass game as far as route combinations. So that's a tough ask. Even if Josh Allen was there, you would think it would be a more competitive game, especially because it's at 1 o'clock, and we always say that Kirk Cousins is solar powered, so he always shows up at 1 o'clock. You know, so I think it was going to be a tough game anyway. I think it's even tougher, and if they lose this game, it's going to negate everything that they did as far as beating Kansas City early in the season, because you look at what it means is that, you know, the playoffs will potentially still go through Arrowhead and not Orchard Park.
Well, you mentioned how the Buffalo Bills are going to have to rely more heavily on the run, something they've been bad at. They're at the middle of the league in terms of rushing yards, and the whole reason they're even there and not towards the bottom is because of their quarterback, who they might not have, and Josh Allen. He leads the team in passing yards and rushing yards. And so they need their backs to step up in a big way. Like you just mentioned, it's going to start getting cold there in Buffalo, and the fact that they don't know how to establish a run game yet is 100% concerning. However, I haven't seen enough from the Vikings to believe that they, regardless of who's in at quarterback, that they are fully living up to that 7-1 record that they have. And as Field Yates pointed out earlier on Twitter, this would be the fourth time this season, if Josh Allen can't go, where the Vikings would see a backup quarterback, and that matters. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, again, Josh Allen day-to-day, according to his head coach, the UCL problem in his elbow, and so we'll see what happens from there. Meanwhile, the Packers, they've lost five straight. Packers have lost five straight, and now they have to play a Cowboys team that's going to Green Bay, who obviously is going to have a little more swagger than the Packers have. But don't let Aaron Rodgers tell you that, because here's what Aaron Rodgers thinks about himself, I guess. Here's the Packers quarterback yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show.
I always believe in myself first, and I bet on myself first to go out there and to impact the game and to be great. And I still know I have that within me. Still the reigning, defending, two-time MVP.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless who's out there with me, guys want to come battle, they know where to find me.
Hell yeah.
I'll be in the center of that huddle, expecting greatness, trying to inspire the best I can, and laying it on the line.
I just cannot
that,
take
that wasn't me, yet. Guys. That was not me.
It was not Bart that said hell yeah. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers believes in himself. Anyway, the Packers get a win this weekend against the Cowboys. I mean, I don't know how else to ask this question. I don't
negatory. And listen, when this game was first scheduled, you're like, man, this is going to be a real test for Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, and you know, trying to win the division, trying to keep pace with the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, this looks like a walk in the park now, right? I mean, this team is dysfunctional right now. I mean, it could be an ass kicking. Like we expected the Buffalo game to be an ass kicking, and didn't really materialize. But man, you talk about not being able potentially to stop the run with Pollard and Zeke coming back. I mean, this could be choo choo train. You know what I mean? Run him out of town. Mm. This could be the embarrassment that he thought he was going to get in Buffalo, and he can play a major role in. As far as how bad he played, if he's going to continue to turn the football over, you know, it's going to be interesting, man. But I don't see them coming back from this. I don't see them making a wild card. And if they don't make the playoffs after giving their quarterback, their MVP quarterback, $50 million a year, then what are we talking about, right? We applaud. Listen, Aaron Rodgers lost the same percentage of receiver that Patrick Mahomes lost. And we still see Patrick Mahomes as an MVP candidate. Both still have the same thing on defense, right? They both lost a generational type of receiver. Mahomes has dealt with it better. Maybe it's because he spent time with his guys in the offseason to get him, you know, on the right page or get him on the same page. And, you know, it's the lack of Aaron Rodgers' commitment to trying to do something that no veteran quarterback wants to do. Nobody wants to have to babysit guys that aren't quite ready to be professionals to teach them how to be professionals. But that's the job. When they give you $50 million, that's part of your job description, that you handle whatever they give you and you make it better. And I don't know if he's made it better.
I guess if there's good news, the tests on Aaron Jones, you know, coming back negative, him maybe being able to play this weekend is good news for Aaron Rodgers. At least he gets another weapon. But there is a common denominator here between the Cowboys and the Packers, and that's the Lions, like most recently. I mean, the Cowboys played them 2 weeks ago. The Packers played them this week. Packers lost, and Aaron Rodgers turned the ball over at a high clip in the red zone. Meanwhile, the Cowboys beat the Lions 24-6. They couldn't even get in the end zone. So, there's the common denominator. And then the Cowboys' two losses this season have come to Tampa Bay, where we saw Dak Prescott go down, and then the Philadelphia Eagles, who are still undefeated. It seems so lopsided to me, and it feels like just a continuous downward spiral for the Packers. But that's why we play the games on Sundays, I guess. Okay, let's go Seahawks-Bucks. Bucks finally get a win. Seahawks are first in their division, which is the biggest surprise, I think, so far in this NFL season. Yeah. But nonetheless, Tom Brady against Geno Smith. We would have laughed at this in the beginning of the season, but here we are. What do you think about Seahawks, Bucks, Bart?
You would have laughed, but Geno wouldn't have laughed back, though.
True.
Tell you that much. But, you know, you look at it now, this looks like a lopsided matchup, you know, in the Seattle Seahawks' favor. You talk about the fact that, you know, Kenneth Walker probably will win the Offensive Rookie of the Year now that Breece Hall's out. You know, he was right there before, but now he's just catching fire. And now their team is playing relevant games. And on the outside, Metcalf and Lockett, and his defense is playing so much better. And with the inability of Tampa to run the football, it allows them to put all their resources in the passing game, which should allow them to be able to get the victory. I think, you know, Tampa's in trouble as well. I think, yeah, we won't know who's going to win that division till late in the division. I think Atlanta, you know, in my opinion, should win that division. Mm-hmm. But what are we talking about? We're talking about Marcus Mariota and the Atlanta Falcons dethroning, you know, Tom Brady in the division. I mean, this is a crazy year. Crazy, crazy year. Geno
really
Smith
is.
Should be comeback player of the year. He might get some. He might get some MVP votes.
I can't, like, it's crazy for you even to say that. Now, let's just remember the year the Bucks won the Super Bowl. Remember, they weren't playing so great, went into the bye week. I believe they played some golf, and everyone had conversations. Bruce Arians, Tom Brady, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl. This is their last game
Bruce
before.
Bruce who? Bruce, oh, yeah, Arians. That guy don't coach no more. Okay, got it. Okay.
This is their last game before the bye week for the Bucs, so maybe if they can find a way to beat the Seahawks, things could turn. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, this isn't the creepiest music I've ever heard. I mean, Halloween's over. I mean, it's something a little more uplifting here. It's time for Bars.
Oh, it is uplifting. As I rise, and so shall my views.
I forgot that you drew this chatter. Barstradam, it's time for it here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Series XM Channel 80. Shay Cornett filling in for Alan Hahn today alongside Bart Scott. All right, here we go, Barstradam. Please tell me, will the Packers at some point this season start Jordan Love over Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, Shay. Aaron made his bed and so he shall lie. $50 million doesn't allow you to have any PTO at work. Oh, Aaron Rodgers must suffer, and suffer he will, as the Aaron Rodgers. We have to ask it in a question. Who will start the season? Who is Aaron? Oh, it's going to be many sad days on the Pat McAfee show as the frustration continues to rise, as the Packers continue to fall. So it is said, Shay, so it shall be.
So is that a yes? You think that Jordan Love will start over Aaron Rodgers at some
point?
No. Okay. Got it. Let's go to recently fired Frank Reich. He indicated that he would like to be a head coach again. So at least the professional level, do you see Frank Reich as a head coach in the NFL next season, Barstradamus?
Oh. I see a team in my head. Oh, I see Brown. Oh, yes. Frank Reich shall be a head coach. Oh, for the Mud Dogs. As Bobby Boucher makes his return. Oh, yes. The Mud Dogs shall rise on the backs of Bobby Boucher and Frank Reich. But oh, we won't see him in the NFL. Not ever, ever again as a head coach. Oh, yes, but the Mud Dogs shall rise.
I agree with you. I don't think there's any way. I mean, it felt like he had 9 lives even with one team, in the Indianapolis Colts. So I think that ship might have sailed. All right, give me a team at the halfway point that we haven't talked much about that you think could go on a playoff run, perhaps. Really build things up in the second half of this season. What do you think, Barstradamus?
Oh, so many teams to pick from. But I think we've talked about this team. And oh, they're the most dangerous one of all the land. And I believe that they shall have a O, a B, and a J. Oh, yes. Odell Beckham says he's looking for a home. And a home he shall find for the Gold Rush. The 49ers. Oh, yes. Yes, the Super Bowl winning San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy G hits his target this time. He doesn't overthrow Emmanuel Sanders as he throws it into the outstretched arms of the OBJ.
OBJ to the Niners? Come on, what about Christian
McCaffrey? So it is said, so it shall be. McCaffrey shall be there as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I like that. That's a good one. Niners right now behind the Seahawks that are surging right now. So we'll see if you're right. I feel like the Niners are always like a sure bet. That's this episode of Barstradamus here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. If you want to ask Barstradamus a question, you can give us a call. 888-729-3776. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. News from Barton Hahn Nation. Matt's in Connecticut, and he hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call line. Go ahead, Matt. What do you got?
What's going on, guys? Love this show. I don't think Josh Allen is going to be able to sustain this little running game thing that he wants to do. They have Devin Singletary, who's coming off a career year last year. They need to run the ball. Like, he shouldn't have to throw for 45, 50 passes a game. They need to run the ball. He's probably not going to make it to the playoffs if he wants to be the running back instead of the quarterback.
Well, they brought in Nyheim Hines, you know, and he was the backup to Jonathan Taylor, but he was the starter before Jonathan Taylor, even when Jonathan Taylor was on the roster. He's more than capable, but they have to commit to the run. And, you know, they just haven't figured out how to get it done. Now, they did it a little bit in the playoffs, but they got to figure it out because Josh Allen running the ball as often as he does is not a recipe for success. You know, but he's still young, and, you know, we watched Cam Newton do it for years. But eventually he fell off the cliff, and I think you're shortening the life expectancy of Josh Allen by allowing him to run as much.
Well, it doesn't make sense either with the weather in Buffalo, and I know that's like a lazy analysis, like no duh, but really, why aren't you utilizing your backs more? Obviously, Buffalo Bills saw this as a glaring weakness too, hence why they went and got Nyheim Hines, and I'm sure once he gets a little bit more accustomed to what's going on there, he'll fill in nicely and hopefully help that run game. We got another call here. Jason's in Iowa. Jason, what's on your mind? What's going on? Welcome to Barton Hahn.
Bart, before we get too hasty and think that the Jets are going to take the division lead this week, remember that Miami would have to lose to the Browns before that even happens. And, oh, yes, the last game of the season, Jets in Miami. They lose to Miami in our barbecue chicken, and Miami wins the division.
Listen,
have a great day.
Listen, if we're going to the playoffs, who cares? We're ahead of schedule, and we'll be able to spin just like you. And I bet you the Tyreek Hill of 2023 won't say who, the Jets. He won't be saying that team is young and balling, and they got plenty of money. You guys are all in this year. Let's see how long you can sustain that.
Look, I understand, but can I just ask a question here from an outsider perspective with the Jets fandom? So, like, a week ago, we were all throwing Zach Wilson under the bus.
Yes.
Keeps turning the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? And now, because they beat Buffalo in a very close game, yes, impressive, we're like, they're ahead of schedule. They're this. They're going to be first place in the division.
They're
like,
picked to win five games, Shay. That's why we're excited.
I get it, but it just feels like we're maybe putting the cart before the horse just a little bit.
They beat Miami, too. Let's keep it real. Like, it's not like they got bad. You know, they beat some good teams.
Who? The Jets.
Exactly. Right? Listen, it's not like they have a weak schedule. We don't talk about Philadelphia and their weak ass schedule. Right? We'll talk about Dallas and their weak ass schedule. We don't talk about the Giants and their weak ass schedule when we make the rankings. They played absolutely nobody. They have the easiest that division has the easiest schedule in all of football. The Jets have done the job, and they deserve all the credit that they've had. And they haven't complained about not having Mekhi Becton. They haven't complained about having Max Mitchell, Breece Hall, George Fant. They just keep rolling. Joe Doug has done a great job in creating depth. So, like, Miami was supposed to win, even if they did win and win the division at the end of the year. The Jets have exceeded expectations, and they'll have $100 million. Miami won't. Because they just had to pay Bradley Chubb. All we got to pay is Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
We got plenty of money, plenty of draft equity, thanks to some of the trades that we've made.
Okay, so speaking of divisions, I want to ask you this objectively here. AFC East, NFC East, which one do you think is the better division right now? AFC East right now, Buffalo Bills at the top, followed by the Jets, Dolphins, then the Pats. NFC East, Eagles at the top, obviously, followed by Cowboys, Giants, Commanders.
I mean, instead of going with who won more games, because I just said the NFC East has an easier schedule, let's just go over strength of schedule and who won, who got the better wins. I mean, you know, Kansas City went down at the hands of the AFC East, right? You talk about, you know, the big wins. Miami beat Baltimore. right? So who got better wins, more quality wins against opponents that we respect? You would have to say the AFC East, right? And we give Philadelphia a lot of credit, but they're untested. They played a backup quarterback in Cooper Rush, and they played Minnesota, who you questioned their record early in the season, I believe in prime time, when we know that Kirk Cousins solar powered.
Yeah. No, he's not solar power in prime time. He's terrible usually.
No, we're saying he's solar powered. If he played a primetime game, it's nighttime. There's no sun.
Yeah. Oh, that blonde that just got there. It's a good point. And they're favored in every game except for when they play the Cowboys next. I think it's week 16 or something like that. And you're right. They do play a weak schedule. But being undefeated in the National Football League, you know better than anyone, is really hard to do. And so I feel like...
Well, ask 11-0 Steelers. And how weak that 11-0 was. We all laughed at that one, too. Like, okay.
True. I remember that. And then the wheels fell off shortly there afterwards. All right. Coming up here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Again, Shea filling in for Alan Hahn here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Bart mentioned OBJ. OBJ and the Cowboys, they've been kind of flirting the last couple of days. What would good production look like from OBJ when he returns? And will he have a star on his helmet? We'll talk about all of it next. You're listening to ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Shea Cornett filling in for Alan Hahn here on Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Bart Scott alongside as well, and as always, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. And you know, OBJ, trade deadline comes and goes. He's not part of it. He's still kind of rehabbing his knee and all the situations that come along with it, but it sounds like he should be good to go and clear all the protocols and what he needs to do in the next week or so. And so, Bart Scott, I guess my question to you is, because we've heard a lot of flirting with the Dallas Cowboys over the last week or so, do you think we see OBJ on a roster before the year is done?
No, absolutely. I think he needs to be on a roster and finish healthy and really finish on a team that's going to have a long enough run for him to show everybody that he can come back. Because I can imagine him coming back. He's going to have to be on the practice squad for a couple of weeks, kind of learning how to, you know, the terminology and see how his knee reacts to practicing and swelling up. Does it swell? Does it not swell? All that stuff. And, you know, if I'm him, I'm considering the Buffalo Bills, but now with Josh Allen's injury, I'm concerned with that, right? And then I'm worried about, you know, if I go to Dallas, the history of Dallas, they haven't played well, and they need him to be the number two because Gallup hasn't come back and been that dominant factor that he was before. I'm looking at the 49ers, right? Because I know creative playmaking. I know that, you know, they don't have just one, but two. But they have so many different ways to get him the ball and be creative. And I think that's what you have to do with OBJ now in his advanced age. Not his advanced age. He's aged because of injuries. So I would probably like to be the third guy in the slot. You got Ayuk on one side. You got Deebo Samuels. You got Kittles. You got a tremendous running game, which is going to open up everything for OBJ. So I consider that the dominance, you know, at that position.
Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. All right, let's go back to the Cowboys situation here, because Jerry Jones was on 105.3 The Fan, as he is every single week, and he talked about OBJ and what he might look like. Let's take a listen.
We have all the appreciation in the world for what he is as a competitor. I know that the cowboy star on that helmet, when he puts it on, could look pretty good. We should be aware that he's coming off this injury, but he showed he can do it and do it well last year. My experience has been when we've brought a veteran player in, they hit the ground running. I think that you're looking at a player that his experience far outweighs any of that ambiguity involved with how's he going to fit your system.
Okay, and then you got guys like Micah Parsons tweeting out, like, let's do this, and tagging OBJ, and all this back and forth going on, and he'd look good in a star. We've heard all these things. With a star on his helmet. And like, I want to be like, no duh, to Jerry Jones. Obviously, when you bring in a veteran player, they hit the ground running, because it's like a spark to the offense, right? Or defense, right, or whatever. Like, but is it sustainable? I guess that is the question, coming off an injury like his. Now, obviously, the last time we saw him, he scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Lights were bright. It feels like perfect fit, personality fit there in Dallas. Like you and I talked earlier, like Green Bay, not so much. Dallas seems to make the most sense. But can he, after not participating in any sort of practice with these teams, or, you know, not having to go through the same kind of drills because he hasn't been fully healthy, like, can he just jump in midway through the season with a team like the Cowboys?
No, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I believe that he should go to San Francisco, because he can have 5 to 10 impactful plays. And that's pretty much what you're getting from him when you think about him coming back. Remember, he was healthy in Cleveland before he got traded. But he was coming off the injury. This is him coming off the injury and for the first time putting football pads on. And this is the same knee for the second time. You have to proceed with extreme caution. And you got to be able to say, hey, he's just a luxury guy that in a certain situation, like when Scotty Miller, you know, got the touchdown on the vertical route, you know, like on Tampa's way to the Super Bowl, he needs to be able to get some favorable matchups where you put him in like that. I can't see him playing more than 20 snaps in any game this season. And, you know, he talks about he's looking for a home. I mean, San Francisco in the near future is going to be able to get some of that money off their books, because Jimmy G is going to be gone, and they're going to have a rookie quarterback next year. Dak Prescott's salary isn't going anywhere. So, I mean, I think they'll have more money to be able to offer to him, too, because they're going to lose $26 million off their books.
Yeah, that makes sense. And with the plethora of weapons that the Niners have, like, at their disposal, like, he can take plays off. Like, he doesn't have to be a part of the game plan for every single thing. It's just, they don't need him in the immediate. They don't need him right now. Like, they don't have to have him. Where it feels like a team like Packers, yes, but Cowboys, yes, like, could use him right now, because they're in such a win now, have a hole on their roster situation.
See, they need him now because they need to stack the deck to make sure that they have enough weapons to be able to beat Philadelphia, right? Because that's the matchup that we think that's happening when you talk about Big Play Slay and Bradberry. So, okay, let's just say Big Play Slay can take away Debo. Okay, let's say that they find a way to try and bracket, CMC. So now if you on the other side, they man up Ayuk with Bradberry. Okay, well, we're going to put Kittles here and eat up your other safety, and we're going to get man-to-man coverage with your nickel against OBJ.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it really does make sense. Let's hear from Dominique Foxworth, our ESPN NFL analyst, because he says the Cowboys need to get OBJ like yesterday. Take a listen.
If you can get a guy in, even if he can't play, get him into the meetings, get him learning the offense, get him learning the intricacies and running routes in practice. All those things matter. I think they should add him. Speaking of the Cowboys, they need him more than anyone else. And it's not necessarily that he can be the Odell of old and be a true number one throughout the course of the rest of the season. It's that when you get to the playoffs, you're going to need him to win you one game. You're going to need him to get you 3 or 4 important third down conversions.
Right.
You never know when they're going to come up, but you're going to need another player at some point. Everybody does, but I think the Cowboys more than most.
Okay, so he's kind of echoing similar to what you just said, Bart. Like, you don't need him for every single play right now. You don't need him to just insert himself and be, you know, the featured receiver. But when you get to the postseason, you might need him for a game. You might need him for those special plays or whatever. You know, that's what Dominique is saying, that the Cowboys need to get him implemented into their offense stat.
Yeah, you need to make him be a playmaker, right? You know, we know he can throw the ball, right? We know CMC can throw the ball. We believe that, you know, Juszczyk and all those guys. Like, I want to go somewhere where people can have the imagination how to go to five wides, because Debo can play running back, and I can line up where Debo lines up, and he can play running back, right? And then now that just throws everything out, because basically it acts as five wides. So you put five wides, and Odell Beckham could get matched up against with a linebacker. It's like that type of stuff, right? That's what I'm talking about when you talk about how creative you can be, where you have interchangeable pieces like San Francisco has. Mm-hmm. So I would be excited, because you know that a guy like, you know, Shanahan will find a way to create matchups, and you're pretty much getting the ball in your hands because of the play design, not so much because of your talent.
Let's hear from Kimberly Martin this morning on Get Up. She's our ESPN NFL reporter. Here's her take on OBJ.
He's homecoming queen right now. He's walking around like, do you like me? Do you like me? And he has a lot of suitors for a good reason. And I think the Cowboys should be at the top of his list. He wants to go to a contender. And you know that it's not about having Odell as a number one. It is, it is a guy that defenses have to key on. You have to know where he is on the field, which then opens up things for other guys.
Okay, so we're echoing all the same sentiment here. But OBJ being like a homecoming queen opens up the question of surprise. Are you surprised at all that we have not seen OBJ on like a show like Dancing with the Stars or The Masked Singer? Or don't you feel like he would fit the bill for something
I
like
wanna
that?
I want to say he did something like that. I saw something, you know, because he's live on Instagram all the time. Well, I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But yeah, he has the personality.
Totally.
And, you know,
right?
He has the swag, right? We know he's a dancer, right?
That's
so why not? Why not go on Dance with the Stars?
I'm surprised we haven't seen him do any of that yet. Maybe it's in his near future. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. All right, the Nets, they have found their next head coach. It is not the one that we thought it was going to be a few weeks ago. It is the interim head coach. We'll talk more about it. But the question is it enough to keep their main guy, Kevin Durant, happy? We'll discuss next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Ooh, it's been a busy day. We had some Josh Allen news. He's day-to-day ahead of the Bills matchup against the Vikings on Sunday. And then, obviously, the big story today, the Nets and their coaching decision. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Shea Cornett filling in for Allen Hahn today alongside Bart Scott. And so we are presented by Progressive Insurance. And if you don't know the news, let me remind you, the Nets decide to hire their interim head coach, Jacques Vaughn, as their full-time head coach. Ime Udoka was supposed to be named their head coach like a week ago. That came and went, and so they remain consistent and stay with their interim head coach, Jacques Vaughn. He is 2-2 so far since taking over as head coach of the Nets. Of course, that's after Steve Nash said bye-bye, and Kyrie Irving is on a break to try and get right at this point. We have no idea when he's coming back, as there's a lot of things he needs to accomplish before he can return to the team. We don't know the status of Ben Simmons. And tonight, the Nets have to play the Knicks at home. By the way, that's a part of an ESPN doubleheader, so you could watch it 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. And then Lakers-Clippers follows them at 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN also. But there was some interesting stuff, Bart, that came out of talking to Nick Friedell earlier on this show. I believe it was you that asked, is this higher now? Because we obviously heard in the offseason, KD wanted everything changed. He wanted the front office to have a switch up. He wanted the Steve Nash gone, and that was the only way he was going to stay with the Nets. They remedied the situation, but not for very long. And so is having Jack Vaughn as the head coach going forward going to keep Kevin Durant happy? And here's what Nick Friedell had to say.
The Kevin, will he go, will he stay conversation is going to be answered, in my opinion, over the next month here, because the Nets have a really difficult schedule. They're on the road for most of November. They've already started poorly. They haven't looked the way a lot of people thought they would. So if they run through November and they're just losing game after game after game, then I'd expect that conversation, no matter what happens with this Kyrie situation that is still unfolding, the Kevin conversation will probably be revitalized here over the next few weeks.
Okay, so we might soon, if the Nets can't, now if they can't turn it around, their defense has been better since they got rid of Kyrie Irving. I know they're trying to now like focus on basketball a little bit here, but do you anticipate we have another firestorm now coming from KD if he's unhappy and they keep losing?
Yeah, because if he's losing, he understands this is his prime. And you would hope that, hey, if he's coming here and he's putting up 30 points a game and giving you his all, it's only right that you allow him to go, because you failed him as an organization. You failed him with the coach, and you failed to put the players around him. He's held up his end of the bargain. After coming back from the injury, he's been available. He's played most of the games. He hasn't been a distraction. He's played at a high level, and he's did his part. So you should do your part and say, you know what? You've been a good soldier. You deserve better than this. We have to start this thing all over. So we're going to allow you to pick the location in which you want to go to simply because you came in and you did the right thing. You didn't hold out. You didn't hold in. You know, we said we weren't going to trade you because we couldn't find a compensation. You came and you played your ass off. So here's your reward. And our reward would be all the compensation we get back, because now we have to reimagine this entire thing.
But thinking about this is giving me a headache, Bart. Like going through the process, we've had the coaching change. We've had the Kyrie situation. Obviously, last year, James Harden leaves. We don't know what the heck's going on with Ben Simmons. Like, just talking about the fact that we might be letting Kevin Durant walk it midseason or have this conversation, like, that stresses me out. How could the Nets sustain that?
You have to rebuild, because if you have a great player, you're not winning games with him, then your best chance of winning in the future is to get a bunch of – he's a great player. Get a bunch of good players and start over and create a foundation. That's just how you have to do it. I mean, it's the same decision that, you know, the Lions had when they had, Calvin Johnson. I used to say that all the time. Listen, he's a great player. He's putting up historical numbers, but you're winning nothing with him. So clearly you need better players than just one great player. And that's where the Nets find themselves. And without Kyrie, why would you even force him to stay around? Kyrie didn't sign an extension. He's leaving after this year. They probably said give us 1 year, and he's giving them that year. But listen, we both recognize within this year that it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, and interesting enough, in that same conversation with Nick Friedell, our ESPN NBA reporter earlier here on Bart and Hahn, he said, we don't even know, like, Kyrie could come back as early as Sunday against the Lakers at Staples. However, or it's not called Staples anymore. What is it called now? Something?
Yeah, cryptocurrency.
Something. Anyways, it doesn't look like that's going to be possible because he has a laundry list of things he needs to accomplish, and he hasn't even had a conversation with Joe Tsai yet. So we don't even know when, like, Kyrie Irving might not be coming back. I mean, the dramatic part is the entire season, let alone within the calendar, with a month or this calendar year. Like, we have no idea what stands in front of these Nets. It's literally one game at a time. Well, their next game again is tonight. Knicks Nets, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. The Nets have basically owned the Knicks the past 2 years, winning every single game that they have played quickly. What do you think? You think tonight's when we turn the tide? You think the Knicks get one? They haven't beat.
Yeah.
They haven't beat a team with a winning record yet. Not that the Nets have one, but
look at me.
Okay.
I'd have capped it now.
I'm on radio.
I'd have capped it now. That's what RJ Barrett gonna say. Look at me. I'd have capped it now.
All right. So you think the Knicks pull one out? Nets are favored, though. By the way, Nets are favored by 3.5.
Of course, they should be.
Yeah, they should be. All right, it's been fun hanging out with you, Bart Scott, as it always is. I'm Shay Cornett, the filling in for Alan Hahn. He'll be back tomorrow, and Canty and Carlin is next here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Bart and Hahn podcast.